Blog Talk Radio.
Newsmax TV. Okay.
I'm going to just replay this. It's only 2 minutes.
What we should do here is first, this thing reeks of a false flag operation. I would not understand or comprehend that Bashar al-Assad, no matter how bad a man he may be, would be so stupid as to order a chemical weapons attack on civilians in his own country when the immediate consequence of which might be that he would be at war with the United States. So this reeks of a false flag operation. I don't know for sure that it was, but what the United States should do is quite simple and quite clear. Gather all the evidence through the UN, gather the evidence through our intelligence, take this to the United Nations Security Council the same way President Kennedy, through Adlai Stevenson, took the case of the Cuban Missile Crisis. We had our photographs. We showed the photographs. We showed the world what we had. We proved the missiles were in Cuba. And then if the Russians veto any action or any sanctions, then take the information to the Congress of the United States, the president should, and let him explain why the vital interests of the United States are threatened and why he wants authority to go to war against Syria. That is the constitutional and legal way to do this. It is not to act in panic because John Kerry is shocked at the pictures he saw on YouTube. It is to go to the Congress of the United States and get authority. And this is why Boehner is critical right now. The Speaker of the House should tell the President that as of today, he has no authority to take this country to war against Syria, and unless until he gets that authority, he cannot use American military power against Syria, no matter how much we dislike that regime, because it has not attacked the United States.
And that's the he stated this last week, right? Not last week, earlier this week was the date of that, but that it makes a lot of, it makes a lot of sense.
Well, we never made a case to the United Nations.
No, we didn't. All right, it was just he hasn't even made a case to the American people.
No,
yet on this. So, and now I have something that just came up today that I wanted to play because it just is so amazing. Now this is on YouTube. This was a YouTube video. It's only about 40 seconds long, but it's press secretary, Obama's press secretary, admits Syrian forces are not to blame for the gas attacks in the last few weeks, but the so-called opposition fighters. All right? Now listen to this guy. It's amazing. This is at a news conference. I missed the news conference, but somebody taped it from it, and this is just last week.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for being here. Fact of the matter is that we have said, and I have said many times, we are highly skeptical of suggestions that the Assad regime could have or did use chemical weapons. We find it highly likely that any chemical weapon use that has taken place in Syria was done by the opposition.
There you go, folks. There you go. And so that's on YouTube. You can also go to lasteelshow.org and pick that up. It's right on the front page. You can replay that. But I'm telling you, folks, I mean, there it is, right there. White House spokesman saying, no, they weren't, we don't think they're guilty. And all of a sudden, a few days later, yeah, they're guilty. We're gonna bomb them. You know what I mean? What's that all about?
I don't know.
So, no.
Screwed up.
They all screwed up. They screwed up big time. And
they don't know what the truth is anymore when they have to talk.
But the interesting thing is that a couple of years ago, it was proven a couple of years ago there was a war plan by Obama and by the neocons.
To invade Syria.
That was the final road to
Iran. That's the road to Iran.
That's it. So,
pathway, they want the oil. So I would guess Mobil Oil, Esso, whatever it is now, Shell, they're all behind this.
Yeah, they're all behind it. And so
pumping all kinds of money.
Yeah, sure.
You know, the problem is they were so cheap they didn't hire a good PR person.
They used an idiot, Obama, to be.
Yeah.
I found this funny. A guy sent me this on Facebook. It says, Obama, Obama's way.
Kill Syrians.
Obama's logic. We shall kill Syrians in Syria to punish them for killing Syrians in Syria. Yay!
Isn't that stupid?
That's what he found.
It's wrong to kill people, so we'll kill more people.
Yeah. Here's something a guy, I'll leave his name out, but some guy just responded to this. He said, a sea slug is smarter than this arrogant, stupid POS nut or boss. Why the hell is Congress and the rest of those bastards so scared of this moron? For the love of God, please stand up and tell this nut job no. He is destroying us, every aspect of this country. These are people that have commented on this. It's actually there are 350 shares and some, I don't know, 1,000 comments on this thing.
God almighty.
But, yeah, it is frightening.
It is.
Now, here's something else that, here's a YouTube video. But it says, Mr. Obama, why did the U.S. not go to war with Israel for repeatedly using white phosphorus chemical warfare in Gaza?
When is a chemical attack not a chemical? Well, we use white phosphorus in Fallujah.
Yeah.
We use spent uranium in Iraq. And it was used in the Balkans.
Oh, this is a beautiful picture. This is a drone ranger.
Uh-huh.
They got Obama and Biden. Obama dressed up as the Lone Ranger, and Biden dressed up like Tonto. Okay, and
they called the drone rangers.
Yeah, the producers of the Pirates of the Constitution. Now bombing everywhere. It's some good stuff there. This is exactly what's going on. They're making a cartoon out of this thing. Now, this particular one upset me, all right? Because I had some respect for Senator Warren. Some, not much.
Elizabeth Warren from Massachusetts.
I thought she might be the real McCoy.
The real
here.
Deal, huh?
But it turns out she's just another Obama stoot.
Elizabeth
Warren,
Obama
prostitute,
for congressional approval on Syria.
I mean, Obama pimped out all of these prostitutes, basically, and
Senator Elizabeth Warren, Democratic Mass, said it's appropriate for President Barack Obama to seek approval from Congress before taking military action in Syria. It's appropriate that he asked for that, Warren said at the annual Central Massachusetts AFL-CIO Labor Day breakfast. What the Assad regime did is reprehensible, but we have to consider what's in America's best interest, Warren said. Obama said Saturday he feels that there should be military action in Syria, but said he made a last-minute decision to seek congressional approval. This would not be an open-ended intervention. We would not put boots on the ground. Instead, our action would be designed to be a limited in duration and scope. Obama said during marks in the White House Rose Garden, but I'm confident we can hold the Assad regime accountable for the use of chemical weapons, deter this kind of behavior, and degrade their capacity to carry it out. House Speaker John Boehner said the House will consider a measure on Syrian military action the week of September 9th when lawmakers return from recess. But Obama's not waiting to address the issue. According to the AP, the president invited Senator John McCain to the White House for a Monday meeting to address concerns of those who feel Obama isn't doing enough to punish the Syrian president.
Yeah, because the tone of her speech was actually that she said, oh, that's wonderful, and I'm supporting him, And that's really... Really, really did beyond belief. They pollute everything with an ad these days. It's okay. But I was really disappointed that she did the same thing as Barbara Boxer did.
Yeah.
Oh gee, we're gonna support him. No. And it's really, really quite sickening.
Syrian rebels use sarin gas, not acetirizine. UN
this
official.
This is from the Washington Times, actually. Okay. So I wanted to read this. Because there's a lot of evidence out there. And a lot of people have read it, but I don't understand why they haven't brought this up. This was brought out. Syrian rebels use nerve gas, not Assad regime.
Testimony.
This is on May 6th.
When is it?
This was on May 6th. So long ago.
Because they said that this has been happening regularly.
Yeah, but wait a minute.
Take out 7 countries in 5 years. starting with Iraq and then Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and finishing off Iran.
So go through the countries again.
Well, starting with Iraq, then Syria and Lebanon, then Libya, then Somalia and Sudan, and then back to Iran.
What do you think of that, folks? That was Wesley Clark back in 2007, Lamy Goodman.
So it's a long term.
It's a long,
plan.
And
it doesn't matter who's in the Oval Office.
No.
The plan continues.
And Zbigniew Brzezinski is one of the biggest liars that ever walked the face of the earth. So, you know, you don't want to believe him on anything. Although Brzezinski at times attempts to appear opposed to military intervention, President Obama's actions in Syria, which include to the support of admitted al-Qaeda fighters, closely mirrors several of Brzezinski's previous policies, most notably the opposition to the Soviet Union in 1979, where decisions made by Brzezinski led to the creation of al-Qaeda through the CIA funding of the Afghan Mujahideen.
Mm-hmm.
See, people, you know, this is true.
People forget about
people,
the history.
And I've told people this, and they still won't believe that bin Laden was created by the CIA.
Brzezinski's call of warning to the global political awakening has only intensified in recent years. Last year, during a speech in Poland, Brzezinski noted that it has become increasingly difficult to suppress and control the persistent and highly motivated populist resistance of politically awakened and historically resentful peoples. Brzezinski also blamed the accessibility of radio, television, and the internet for the universal awakening of the mass political consciousness. The major world powers, new and old, also face a novel reality. While the lethality of the military is greater than ever, their capacity to impose control over the politically awakened masses of the world is at a historic low. To put it bluntly, in earlier times it was easier to control 1 million people than to physically kill 1 million people. Today it is infinitely easier to kill 1 million people than to control 1 million people, said Brzezinski during a 2010 Council on Foreign Relations speech in Montreal. So is it he's going to kill the people that oppose him?
Yeah, so despite attempts by both the Republican and Democratic leadership to gain support for a war in Syria, a new Reuters poll revealed that only 9% of Americans support military intervention in Syria. If the United States intervenes, it will be the least popular war in American history. The massive and growing evidence forced out by the alternative media, which points to a U.S.-backed chemical attack by al-Qaeda-led rebel forces to be blamed on Assad, has only accelerated the inevitable downfall of the corporate press that is now only trusted by 23% of the public. Imagine that.
Mm-hmm.
This is also...
Brzezinski admits worldwide resistance is derailing New World Order, but believe him, though. He's such
no,
a
no,
liar.
But he's been saying interesting things that have been true. Leaking them out in meetings, but they're
mm-hmm.
been recorded.
This is from Hang the Bankers.
Worldwide resistance is derailing the New World Order.
Well, let's play that. Let's see what that says.
It says, during a recent speech in Poland, former UN National Security Advisor Zbigniew Brzezinski warned fellow elitists that a worldwide resistance movement to external control driven by populist activism is threatening to derail the move toward a New World Order. Calling the notion that the 21st century is the American century, a shared delusion, Brzezinski stated that American domination was no longer possible because of an accelerated social change driven by instant mass communication such as radio, television, and internet, which have been cumulatively stimulating a universal awakening of mass political consciousness. We just read part of that, but this is a 6-minute speech that he gave. You want to read that?
Yeah, I want to hear what he
said. I do too.
What he had to say.
Very interesting.
Not surprisingly, the one-sided, but peaceful victory of America over Soviet Russia gave birth to the brief but widely shared illusion that the 21st century would hence be the American century, with the United States acting as the world's benevolent hegemon. 20 years later, A truly comprehensive American global domination is no longer possible. That is so for several reasons. In recent decades, worldwide social change has experienced unprecedented historical acceleration, particularly because instant mass communications, such as radio, television, and the internet, cumulatively have been stimulating a universal awakening of mass political consciousness. The resulting widespread rise in worldwide populist activism is proving inimical to external domination of the kind that prevailed in the age of colonialism and imperialism. Persistent and highly motivated populist resistance of politically awakened and historically resentful peoples to external control has proven to be increasingly difficult to suppress as protracted guerrilla warfares in Vietnam, Algeria, or Afghanistan have amply demonstrated, and as the rising turmoil in both the Middle East and Southeast Asia are foreshadowing. At the same time, the acquisition by the major powers of weaponry of increasingly destructive capabilities has made the notion of victory in a nuclear war among them prohibitively costly. Thus prompted a degree of self-restraint that was absent in the pre-atomic age, age in relations among major powers. Last but not least, the ongoing shift in the center of gravity of global political power from the West to the East, dramatized by the rise of China and of Asia more generally, signals conclusively the onset of a historically new and more complex distribution of global power. In that much more complex historical and geopolitical setting, democratic America admittedly is still the world's most powerful, the richest, and the most influential state. Therefore, much so depends on how America conducts itself in world affairs. But to a much greater degree than in recent past, a great deal now depends also on the conduct of other major powers. We would all probably agree that any list of the contemporary world's geopolitically most important states would include America, China, Russia, not the European Union as such, because of its lack of political cohesion, but more specifically Germany, France, and Great Britain, and in the East, Japan, as well as India. And of course, China, which I've already mentioned. Unfortunately, each of these currently most significant states is, in one fashion or another, experiencing serious systemic handicaps that reduce and constrict their respective capacity for shaping world affairs. To be more specific, today's American political system is increasingly gridlocked and unable to address effectively the country's serious domestic economic financial problems, especially those that are generating growing social inequality. At the same time, America's global legitimacy has been damaged in recent years by its unilateral reliance on military power, especially in the Middle East, while its infrastructural renewal has been burdened by the high financial costs of prolonged local wars. In the near future, America's global influence could be further jeopardized by the likely consequences consequences of any war with Iran. China, despite its historically unprecedented and truly remarkable modernization, is showing signs of internal political stress between its ruling bureaucracy and the increasingly nationalistic armed forces, and of a growing restlessness among the younger portions of China's newly prosperous middle class regarding the political system's controls over their mounting aspirations.
You can get this on YouTube.com, Urban Warfare Channel. There's a lot of interesting stuff here.
Mm-hmm.
So, but anyway. So that kind of gives you a good idea of what's going on regarding the globalization of the impact of the New World Order is being affected by alternative media. Us, people like us, you know, are out there, they're knocking heads, and then people are beginning to listen. I love this. It says, impeachment. We are not racist. We don't want Joe either. Impeach both. They got Obama and Joe Biden standing together. Impeach both. We're not racist. This one is real cute.
Of a little kid?
Yeah, a little African kid looking at talking to some woman, a white woman, and says, he looks at her real doubtfully, and he says, so let me get this straight. You want to kill Syrians in Syria because Syrians are killing Syrians in Syria. Even a little kid, you know, 5-year-old kid can't figure that one out. Yeah.
The logic
of that. And then, you know, it's insane. It's exactly what's happening.
It's just all double talk, double speak.
So incredibly stupid. It's unbelievable. And, you know, you just want to go nuts when you hear this stuff. In a second, my computer is being slow here.
Get,
I'm gonna play us a little song, and then I'll be back in about a couple minutes, and we'll sing all a whole bunch of new stuff to come up here. We'll talk about. Here we go. you might want to know that angry war protesters besieged John Kerry's home in Massachusetts. Not Massachusetts, in D.C.
In D.C.?
Yeah.
This is from BizPak.
Angry war protesters besieged John Kerry's home, banging on door with some windows. This was yesterday. On Sunday...
Today is the 4th.
This was written on Sunday. Anti-war protesters protested the anti-war protester. And with that, as Shakespeare once said, the wheel has come full circle.
In the aftermath of Secretary of State John Kerry making a forceful case on Friday for U.S. military intervention in Syria, protesters assembled outside his townhouse on Beacon Hill. Yes, the Vietnam veteran who became a leading anti-war activist after serving is now advocating for war. According to Twitter users, as Twitchy reported, protesters pounded on Kerry's front door and windows, but he wasn't home. Of course, past precedent tells us if there is a crisis at hand, Kerry's likely to be found aboard his 76-foot yacht called the Isabel.
The images, which were kind of good here. Good morning, Jennifer. I guess you returned my MA I hope everything went. I picked up the kids and blah, blah, blah. Says, you see, I'm still thinking about those Syrian kids. Thank God they are alive. I hope they got a kind of present and some cash. This afternoon or tomorrow, the good days made a call. It says, then another one says, I saw it either and got afraid very much, but Tony comforted me. He said the kids weren't hurt. It was done for cameras. So you don't worry, my dear. So you see, watch, and this is what happened up here. Okay. It says, you know, I can't stop thinking about the terrible gas attack on Syria now. Did you see those kids? I was really crying. They were poisoned. They died. When is it over? I see their faces in my sleep. What did Tony say about these? And it turns out that they staged this attack. And I'm going to go up to this one here, right here. This attack was staged. That they gave us as evidence. It was staged by the CIA. And wait a moment. There it goes. Exclusive Pentagon may be involved in a chemical attack in Syria. U.S. intelligence colonel hacked email.
The launch of the missile from land, sea, air, and submarine. The missile has the NATO reporting codename SSN-26. It is reportedly a replacement for the P-270 Moskva,
yeah.
But possibly also whatever it is. So it's a big thing.
Yeah, joint Russian-Indian supersonic missiles. Okay, but what happened was is that this is a major killer.
See what's said between. There's a picture of Obama and Putin, and let's see what
if it comes up.
If it comes up, if we get anything here. It's buffering, folks.
It'll take an hour to get down. Okay.
Doesn't want to go anyway.
Doesn't seem to want to work. So anyway, this is the information so far we have. But there's another interesting thing. I guess everybody knows by now that David Frost died.
Yeah.
Okay, he had a heart attack at 74. He's pretty good. Very good.
He was a great interviewer.
Yeah, he was.
Here's one. Here's something somebody said. We're going to war on Syria because they poison children. And this is Obama talking to a little girl. So she says, so why don't you bomb Monsanto?
You prick. We've got a lot of likes on that. Media admits Obama now openly is siding with Al-Qaeda.
But now it is public knowledge that the U.S. has ties with terrorist groups. Anthony Gucciardi of StoryLeak joins me in the studio with more on that.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So tell me, who are we fighting with?
Well, the fact of the matter is it used to be a conspiracy theory that Obama and his handlers were arming the Syrian rebels, which are linked up with Al-Qaeda, admittedly, and they go around flying Al-Qaeda flags. But now it is public knowledge. It is on public record that we are funding directly Al-Qaeda. And more so, we're actually funding the Syrian rebels who likely carried out, in fact, they did carry out, the chemical attacks in order to launch war into Syria. So, in fact, we have one piece here as well from The Independent. Does Obama know he's fighting an Al-Qaeda side? And it says, he's fought for the very first time in history, the United States will be on the same side as Al-Qaeda. It goes on to say the men who destroyed so many thousands on 9/11 will be fighting alongside the very nation whose innocents so cruelly murdered almost exactly 12 years ago. So what it comes down to now is once again we've seen this correlation where we're called conspiracy theorists, we're called crazy for saying that we're funding Al-Qaeda now and we're going with Al-Qaeda and aiding the Syrian rebels against Assad, against the regime that now the Syrian rebels are trying to destroy. But then, of course, a little bit later, about several months, 8, 9, 10 months later, the mainstream media now pushes it as breaking news. And you will see on this document it has 51,000 Facebook shares. That means it's been seen by probably millions of people, 4,000 tweets, 4,000 tweets. So what that comes down to is it's like when we say it, it's crazy. But when the mainstream media says it, we all better bow down and just immediately show everyone, oh, my gosh, it's true. And they're surprised every time.
Exactly.
It's a pattern over and over again, and we're calling it 10, 12 months before almost every single time, and then the mainstream media is forced to admit we were right and cover it as if it's an exclusive breaking news piece when we've already known about it.
Well, now, we've seen this quite a few times throughout history where the allies become the bad guy, but then there are allies again, and we're seeing this again.
Let's go back to the 80s for a minute. The recently declassified CIA documents, one of the things I also covered with you guys, it comes out now, it turns out, that we aided Saddam, helped Saddam with the CIA and Reagan at the time, and I mentioned earlier on the Alex Jones program, everyone hails Reagan as kind of a demigod. And he did some good stuff, but, of course, he helped fund and get ready of these chemical attacks on Iran on behalf of Iraq because they needed to solidify an Iraqi win over the war. So we've seen before launching these chemical attacks and helping to do so as a pretext for full-scale war. So what's happening now is the same exact pattern. And I just want to talk about this. Syrian rebels pledge loyalty to Al-Qaeda. And it says basically the rebels will go ahead and they'll join anybody, anybody at all, including al-Qaeda, will help them to overthrow Assad. It doesn't matter if they're a terrorist organization. And it also mentions that, yeah, the Western countries, like the United States, are funding all of this, and they're funding al-Qaeda now directly because the Syrian rebels team up with them. They say, the rebels in Syria have one common enemy, Assad, and they will collaborate with any faction allowing them to topple his regime. Now, something interesting, you actually brought this up earlier, Leanne, I have to give you credit for that. Check out what Carney said. I don't have it here, actually, but Carney said, we're not trying to topple the regime. We're not going in to topple the regime. You know, we're just going to try and maintain peace, like they said with Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
But look at that statement. Anything to topple his regime. Direct contradiction.
Yeah.
The Syrian rebels are telling it as it is because they don't care. They're absolute insane al-Qaeda terrorists. They're going in to blow up everything. They're beheading Christians, Washington Times right here. They're beheading priests. They're burning Christian villages, innocents, using small knives. You know how specific and disgusting that is? Small little knives. It could be a butter knife. To slice off priest's head to dozens of cheering crowd members from the al-Qaeda / Syrian rebel group saying, yes, kill the priest. And they said that they basically, what they do is either you convert to a Muslim or whatever their, you know, distinctive Muslim culture is over there, or they kill you, or you pay a tax to where you get bankrupt, and then they probably kill you anyway. That's what we're funding. That's who we're giving heavy weaponry. That's who we're saying are the good guys over there. And that's who now are working with al-Qaeda on record, as they've now admitted. And how long have you been screaming about this? Some of the listeners are probably so tired of hearing about it, but it's just so important. And this is what's going to cause World War III. It's all about the Russian hot war right now because they're backing Assad and we're backing the Syrian rebels.
Just incredible. So are you going to do a full report on this video or something up on StoryLeak.com?
Yeah, definitely. I've done a few reports, and I've collaborated, syndicated off of InfoWars.com a lot recently. But definitely more reports on this. Definitely how Syria is actually somewhat of a distraction, because even though it's such an important part, we're actually going in a hot war right now with Russia. No one's talking about this. The Russian media is talking about this because they actually, you know, tell their citizens what's going on sometimes because they see America completely different than us. But the foreign media, you know, they're all over about how really this is a hot war with Russia. It was a proxy war, as the Independent and others have admitted, because we were funding the Syrian rebels versus the Russians funding Assad, and they were clashing. We actually had Israel go in and blow up missile caches, which were belonging to the Russians in Syria.
Mm-hmm.
So it's turned into a hot war scenario. Russia has 160,000 troops at the ready with naval ships and aircrafts and everything like that, heavy bombers on the lines of Russia. So it's turning into a hot scenario. The only thing is it possible to defuse it, or are the elitist control freaks just so far gone that they're willing to risk it all?
Just amazing. Well, we'll have to wait and see. Apparently it's going to strike tomorrow. So.
Well, we'll see. I don't know if it's going to strike tomorrow, but something's definitely going to happen in the near future, whether it's good or bad. And hopefully it's not bad, but I do see this really as a hot World War III type scenario. If Obama is crazy enough to push forward with this, just say, here's Syrian rebels, have all the supplies you need, have all the weaponry you need, just go out and get Russia's Assad.
Well, Anthony, I hope you're wrong.
Me too. I hope I'm wrong, too.
I'm not ready for World War III.
Me neither. Probably be drafted. They're trying to get women into the military now for the draft. They're trying to change it because it's supposed to be constitutional that women and men should be drafted as well.
Well, I'm going to donate a kidney or something and render myself unable. So, thank you very much.
That was Infowars.com, actually. But Alex Jones production. But it kind of gives you an idea of what's going on there, huh?
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Oh, yeah. What a mess, huh?
There's a little humor. There's Obama standing in a picture that says, as I plunge the world into World War III, please remember, it's Bush's fault, and you're a racist. Well. I don't know, folks. This is the
Yeah, you do the best you can to speak out and say you're not in support, and
All we can do is just.
I just think it's criminal.
I wanted to read this other article tonight about the lawsuit, the big lawsuit against
Kerry?
Against Gore.
Al Gore.
Okay, and I'm going to show you.
Oh, for his global warming?
Yeah.
I think he thought he was going to get away with that.
I had so many articles tonight. Here we go. Okay, Al Gore sued over 30,000 scientists for global warming fraud. This is by John Coleman. Interesting, huh?
Yeah.
Well, YouTube the video.
My next guest wants to sue Al Gore for fraud. He hopes a legal challenge will settle the global warming debate once and for all. He's John Coleman, and he founded the Weather Channel. My favorite channel, has some of the hottest women there. And now he works as a weatherman for KUSI-TV in San Diego. He knows warm fronts like I know cold cuts. So, John, why do you want to sue Al Gore?
Well, the deal is this, Greg. We have tried to get a debate on global warming with scientists on the other side. Al Gore or any of the scientists behind him over at the UN IPCC, we'd love to have a debate with him, but they said, oh, no, the debate is over.
Yeah.
Well, now there are 30,000 of us. We have 30,000 scientists, 9,000 PhDs, who have signed up to debunk global warming. And they still won't listen to us. You realize that Fox is the only cable network that will put us on the air. CNN won't. That other thing, MSNBC, won't. CBS, ABC, NBC, they scoff at us. We can't get on the air. If it weren't for the Internet, you wouldn't even know I existed.
Yeah, no, it's
so,
true.
The whole deal is that somehow we have to be heard. So we figure maybe a court of law.
Now, let me ask you, do you think, why hasn't Al responded to you? Is he scared, or is he just pretending you don't exist?
Well, I think he regards us as just a little gnat.
Mm-hmm.
After all, he's a former vice president of the United States. He's got an Oscar. He's got a Grammy. He's got $100 million. He's got a Nobel Peace Prize. Mm-hmm. I'm going to scare him? I wish.
Now, you say in a lot of your writing that global warming is a scam. Why do you think that?
Well, if you study all the papers of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, if you study everything their scientists have done, it all boils down to a claim that carbon dioxide, CO2, in the atmosphere, put there by our burning of fossil fuels, is going to turn the climate of Earth into an oven, and we're all going to bake and die.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's sheer nonsense. We have burned burning fossil fuels for 100 years, and what have we done so far? We might have raised the temperature by one-tenth of 1 degree, maybe. CO2 is a natural compound in the atmosphere. It's not a pollutant.
No,
plants have to have
it. It's like water vapor.
Every time I breathe out, I create it. It is no big deal, and it's certainly not going to end the world.
No, if you believe what the global warming freaks are saying, it's something so evil, but it's no different than basic water vapor. I mean, it's just a substance that's out there. But I got to ask you, because there is so much science out there that's saying that this is purely hypothetical nonsense, why did it become such a widely held belief? Why is global warming so, easily embraced by people in Hollywood, by people in the media?
Well, it's the most amazing part of the story, really. How did it become such this huge accepted scam? I mean, it started off with some environmentalists and some one-world politicians at the UN who had World Earth Day in 1970.
Mm-hmm.
And out of that, they finally managed to create this IPCC, Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change at the UN. They claimed, of course, that that was something, had something to do with science. All it was an environmental advocacy group.
Mm-hmm.
And Al Gore learned a little bit about CO2 in college, one course, learned a little, and all of a sudden he became an expert. So he becomes vice president, the UN starts foisting this thing on us, and the media, which loves a crisis, loves to tell us that the world is coming to an end, the media jumped aboard, and once the media was aboard, so you got the UN, you got Al Gore, you got the media, what are the politicians going to do? They follow.
What's interesting is almost with almost every issue, you're allowed some kind of debate or dissent. And this is...
I'm going to stop it now. So anyway, you can get that on YouTube, Al Gore sued by 30,000 scientists. thank everybody for joining us tonight. Please join us tomorrow night. I have a lot of news and views and some in union issues.
And,
so,
before you go to bed, give some thought to what's happening. Is it really right to settle criminal activity with more criminal activity?
To kill people, to kill more people because some people were
killed.
Kill
people.
You know, I mean,
does that make sense? It just doesn't.
It doesn't seem to make
and
any logical sense.
And you can't support that criminal activity.
No.
And that's criminal, purposely go in and kill.
Yeah.
I mean, they say they're going to surgically strike, but really, what does that mean?
You're not going to surgically strike anything. You're just going to kill people.
It's going to hurt people.
Kill and destroy. And
it's just not right. It's just not right.
So, you know, call your congressman, call your senators, and just say you don't believe a damn thing Obama's talking about. Or care about what Obama's talking about. You don't want another war, and you don't want him, and you don't want any more crap from your government.
But you'll find that the
a lot of things are going to rubber stamp. I get a funny feeling they may not, because it's just going to lead to a bigger war. And
I don't know. I hope you're right, but I just feel they're all rubber stamping.
But you got to get through two houses. You got to get through the Senate and
political theater.
And
at its best.
Yeah.
Showing outrage.
And there'll probably be another false flag operation before, before they decide, just to accelerate their decision.
Yeah.
We'll
see what happens here.
But thanks for joining us.
Yeah, talk to you tomorrow night, folks.
Good evening.
Good night.